This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Well, low fat, non-fat, 99% fat free. We see all these words popping up all the time, don't we, on dairy products and desserts and even biscuits. And for many people, those words are enough to assume the product must be a healthy choice. But is that really true? I saw an article on the ABC Health website that raises some doubt over whether low fat is really always the best choice. Professor Karen O'Day is the director of the Sansom Institute for Health Research, at the University of South Australia. Hi, Karen.
Good morning.
So how did this low-fat trend get so out of control? Where did it all start?
Well, I think it started probably for very good reason. People were concerned about eating too much fat in their diet. Mm. And so, you know, they would focus on reducing the amount of fat. And fat is very calorie dense or kilojoule dense.
So, okay.
There are about twice as many in pure fat, twice as many calories or kilojoules as there are in, say, pure carbohydrate and protein. So that's what people were thinking about. But and in fact, if you do it in relation to meat, you know, it's a very sensible thing to do, cut the visible fat off meat, that type of thing, and maybe avoid eating too much of the fats like butter and cream. Mm-hmm. But it's really, the problem comes really when we get to processed foods.
Okay. Well, let's start first with some of the positives. Like, what are some of the advantages or the health benefits of eating, I guess, lower fat foods?
I guess you've got to look at the overall diet would be my view, and that's mm-hmm. what we'll talk about. Because mm-hmm. it isn't just an advantage of just in isolation eating low-fat foods. If you're eating whole foods, there are real advantages. You're not going to be eating as much calories, mm-hmm. kilojoules, and so it'll be easier for you to control your weight. And I guess that was one of the risk factors. And then type of fat, saturated fats, we had a lot of concern over that and still do in many ways, and looking at saturated and trans fats in foods being associated with higher cholesterol levels and increased risk of heart disease and cancer and things like that. They were some of the drivers for it.
Mm-hmm. So actually, we were eating too much.
Also, diabetes, people at risk of diabetes, people at risk of weight gain. Uh-huh. So there's a very good rationale, really, why that came about.
But you mentioned that processed foods can be a bit of a problem area. When you take fat out of a food like yogurt or biscuits, do you usually lose some of the flavour as well?
Well, you do. One of the things that intrigues me is that with yogurt, we seem to have full-fat yogurt or non-fat yogurt. Whereas with milk, we have many different grades of reduced fat milk. Mm-hmm. You know, 2% fat rather than 3.5%. It's the full fat milk, and we have 1% fat, and we probably even have variations on that. And we have skim milk, so people have plenty of choice with milk. With something like yogurt, they just see the. And I'm personally like this. I don't like skim milk yogurt, plain skim milk yogurt. And so what the manufacturers have done have tried to make it more attractive to people by adding sweet flavours. And so they might add fruit, but it'll be, you know, fruit with sugar. And often, you know, if people are not careful, they'll find they're actually eating more calories or kilojoules than they would have had they eaten the plain full-fat version and maybe added their own fresh fruit to it.
So there's a bit of a tendency for the manufacturers to up the sugar content to make it taste better.
Well, that's right. I mean, I think they add far too much, but that's my own taste buds.
Okay.
I think that that they could probably do it differently. But it's got to the point where people just look at the low fat. It's been a very good marketing tool because you see low fat or 99% fat free or whatever, and people think, it must be healthy. So that's been the sort of clever marketing tool. And in fact, what people don't realise is they could well be overeating.
Okay. Yeah, I wonder if sometimes we just fall into the trap of eating a bit more of it because it's low fat. You know, if the ice cream is 97% fat free, you just sort of hop into it. Whereas if you know you're having a higher fat product, perhaps you might be a bit more restrained.
Well, I think that's right. And I think that the sugar industry has been very successful in really taking the spotlight off sweetened foods. So people are less concerned about that. They're still very concerned about fat. And so I like to say to people, look, you know, if you're worried about your weight, then you've really got to be careful about what you eat and drink. And in fact, when you drink calories, especially if they're very watery, they just don't register as food. which of course they're not in traditional ways. We used to just drink water. So if we drink calories, that's particularly bad, and we'll normally just add them on to what we eat.
Okay, so that could be soft drink or perhaps a few sugars in a coffee or something like that?
Yeah, all of that. And yeah, and it could be sweetened milks. I think people should have milk, and if we can get people drinking milk, if it has to be somewhat sweetened, well, I'd probably have to reluctantly support that. But I'd really want to get that sugar down to a level where it is still clearly lower energy, a calorie product than the full-fat product.
So what should we be looking for with the processed foods in particular? Let's start with them. On the nutrition panels, what should we be looking for to work out whether it's really healthy?
Yep, I always say to people, well, I don't know that you can get quite, you know, you can struggle to get really healthy foods, you know, they're heavily processed because often they're very rich in fat, salt and sugar and not much of the original food nutrients in them. But let's you know, take the question on face value. I would say you should be very careful that you look at the kilojoules, the calories. That's still difficult for people, isn't it? I mean, it's for people to say, you know, what does that really mean?
Yeah.
And nobody goes around adding up everything that they eat in terms of, you know, per biscuit, per this, per that. So what I say to people, if you're really trying to watch your calorie intake and yet eat a healthy diet, eat minimally processed foods, lots of fresh fruit and vegetables. So don't have fruit juice, have the whole fruit. And eat lots of vegetables, particularly coloured vegetables. Okay. Fill yourself up on that sort of thing. And there are beautiful recipes around today where you can actually, you know, eat beautifully and yet not overeat.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the healthy fats that we should be eating as well?
Well, I'm a great advocate of the Mediterranean diet, and olive oil is part of that diet. And I say to people, olive oil has stood the test of time. The rest of our vegetable oils have really only been around, you know, for less than 100 years. Mm-hmm. But olive oil was a major oil in the Mediterranean region for thousands of years, maybe thousands, probably. And people really feel good when they're eating diets that don't have to contain a huge amount, but it can make vegetables very palatable. And lots of people find it hard to eat vegetables, steamed vegetables.
Okay.
Add a little bit of olive oil to it, I say, and you'll really, it'll taste so much better.
Mm.
So it's a way of actually making your vegetable foods most enjoyable.
Okay, and what about the fish oils as well? You know, that's another fat we need.
I'd rather you eat fish.
Yep.
But of course, you know, many people do take fish oil capsules. I think don't take too many. It isn't always that more is better. We've got to be very careful about this. This is why I always prefer people to stick to food.
Yep.
Because they aren't going to put themselves in danger that way.
Okay.
And eat a wide variety of food. And as I say with vegetables, plenty of colours. Maximise the colours.
Uh huh. And yeah, I take it you're also a fan of the whole grains?
I am, of course. that goes with the territory, doesn't it? And if only we could get bread that had low salt in it.
Okay.
And I think because quite a lot of, and there's a great deal of concern about salt, and really it should be the easiest thing for the food industry to address. But, you know, we get a lot of our salt from our bread and cereals, breakfast cereals.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one reason I'm particularly keen on rolled oats and making up your own porridge and maybe having raw rolled oats with yogurt in the morning and fruit.
I'd get the tick of approval for my homemade muesli then.
Well, particularly if you don't add salt, yes.
No, I don't add salt.
Perfect.
All right. Well, thanks for all your help and your words of wisdom this morning. It's like a minefield sometimes working all these things out.
I know it is. It's very complicated.
Yeah.
But if you keep to simple whole foods, it's much less complicated.
Okay. All right. Cool. Thank you for that. That's Professor Karen O'Day. She's from the Sansom Institute for Health Research at the University of South Australia. We're talking about whether low-fat foods are always better for you.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.